I didn't say you're a bad person.
It's okay. You don't have to. It's just the tone of your voice is left.
I'm just going to move a little bit closer.
This is a early podcast today.
Is it actually?
Yeah, it's
Why
only
am I still so sleepy?
It's only 10.
It's only 10 o'clock. No, I think this is around what we usually
do. We usually start at like 11.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we're usually watching longer movies.
That's true. I mean, it was almost 2 hours.
I think it's like an hour 32. Oh, sorry. Let me play us in.
Wow. What a beautiful intro we have.
Honestly, it's nice, right?
I love it. You're a very creative person.
Wow, thanks. I appreciate that.
That is Oliver.
That's Oliver on the keys. Oliver on the boards.
Oliver making music.
And podcasts now.
And podcasts. You're a multi-talented individual.
Honestly, I'm a mogul, actually. I think some would call it a mogul.
100%. I would. Well, welcome to
Spooky Siblings.
I am Faith. Oh, yeah, sorry. Ooh.
No, we don't need to do it anymore.
I'm Faith, and that's Oliver.
Yeah, this is Oliver.
Yes.
And we're here on Friday the 13th.
October.
Well, not whenever you're listening to this, but when we're recording this, it's October
the 13th.
Which is a Friday.
Yeah.
Here in Edmonton.
And there's not going to be another Friday the 13th until next year.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
No.
So it was extra special.
Doesn't it usually happen once a year?
I feel like there was 1 year, it was like, there was like three of them.
It's probably 2020.
Probably. Probably. Okay, great.
Okay, so we're here on Friday the 13th. Yes. We went extra spooky today. Yes. I thought, anyways.
Yes.
Do you think this movie's scary?
I think it's more psychologically scary, for sure.
So we watched Skinamarink.
Skinamarink.
This filmed, was my choice, by the way.
Yes, it was even filmed in Edmonton.
Filmed in Edmonton, Alberta, written and directed by Kyle Edward Ball.
Great guy. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah, he's repping for Edmonton.
No kidding. I'm very excited to watch this movie.
Potentially the most talented person I've seen come out of Edmonton.
Probably.
Honestly.
Who else came out of Edmonton?
Jerome Ginla.
Oh, well, he's kind of cool. He's pretty
relative,
talented.
I think Kyle Edward Ball is more talented. Man, this is a movie and a half.
Oliver loves this movie.
Yeah, I do. I really like this movie. I really like this movie and hate this movie. It's like, this movie is the equivalent of like a floss in the gums for me.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, like it hurts. It's scary to look at, but...
But it feels good too.
The blood scene is still just as traumatizing.
Yeah.
As Oof. The first time I watched it.
Yes.
But okay, where do you want to start?
Okay, your initial rating out of 10.
Do we have any, before we do, just like footnotes on the movie or Kyle Edward Ball? I feel like if there's anyone we should at least talk about a little bit.
100%, you're right.
It's our director from Edmonton.
He doesn't have a Wikipedia page yet.
That's okay, it's coming. It's coming, Kyle. I'm going to make one for him, man. I'm this guy's biggest fan. I want to know what area this house is in.
Right?
Yeah.
It looks like a Northside house.
I picture it as Northside, but I think that may just be our bias.
Probably. They just look all the same. I feel like that.
But it does look uniquely Edmonton sometimes, right?
That layout, like, man, with the inlay wood, it looks like Northside.
Yeah.
Or maybe
well,
the
that
Old East.
Well, that would have been... pretty popular style, I think, in the 70s.
So maybe on the east side, in, like, the older neighborhoods.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about, like, our grandparents' house was like that.
Yeah. That's what
in
I was thinking.
In the basement, it had the same angled wood paneling, right?
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. It was north side. And especially the weird layout and the curved staircase.
Mm-hmm.
That's all very...
Some of, like, the light fixtures
looked
uniquely...
Yes.
Well, which probably aren't, like, they're probably everywhere, but...
Maybe.
Like, they had, like, the same ones we have upstairs with the... You know those hanging things? The ones we have
oh, yes.
up top in the hallway?
Yeah.
Like, I saw the same ones like that. Maybe that's why I'm scared of this movie so much, is it feels like it took place in Edmonton.
Right?
It's like, oh, that could never happen to me, but it's like, oh, this actually took place in Edmonton.
Yeah. And there's, like, an Oilers jersey and yeah. a few things, yeah.
Even though it's not specifically mentioned Edmonton.
No, but I think... in Edmonton. Yeah, because, like, the first time I watched it, I'm like, is that an Oilers jersey? Why?
That's so funny. I don't think I even noticed that my first time.
Really?
Yeah.
The budget was $15,000 US.
That's amazing.
So that's crazy. Honestly, there's not much on him. This was his...
this was his feature debut. So he had shorts. I know he was making YouTube videos a lot. Oh. He had a page where he would allow people to submit their nightmares, and then he would interpret them in a film, in a
yeah.
short film.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, to be fair, I haven't watched. I did want to watch Heck. Remember I was telling you the
yeah.
other day?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So that's his short film. He's said it's essentially the concept, the proof of concept film that he made. To, mm-hmm. I guess, secure the budget for Skinamarink.
Oh. Well, he's very talented.
He's really talented and really unique.
Yes. Yeah, no kidding. Like, to stretch 15 grand if for a movie is pretty crazy. Yeah, we're big fans. Good job. Good job, Mr. Ball.
Great job, Kyle Edward Ball.
I can't wait to actually see what else he makes.
I'm really looking forward to seeing something else by him.
Yeah, this is going to be really... really fun to watch.
I think he can have a very long and illustrious career as a horror director.
Okay, do you want to start with your...
I think you know what I'm...
out of 10.
9 or 10 for me, honestly.
I'm going to start with a 7.5.
I think we have a bit of a different taste when it comes to something
definitely.
Like
that. I think it was still very spooky. Do you want to do a scary meter now or after?
I think my scary meter is... I might be conflating the two. Because for me, the scary meter is off the charts.
Yeah.
For me, the scary meter is 5. Maybe overall it would be 8 or 9. I mean, I'm sure there's a couple of things I could nitpick about it, but this is scary and great.
Yes. It is nightmarish. What about your stupid meter?
I don't even know if it's applicable.
I don't think so either.
I feel like, how are we supposed to give 2 children a stupid meter?
Honestly, it's...
they weren't really stupid. They were actually pretty clever.
Except, well... going down into the basement when a spooky voice tells you to. It's kind of stupid.
But I don't think they're just listening. I think the entity has the power
kind
of suggestion.
Compelled,
kind of.
Yeah. Well, I guess so, yeah, because when they tell him to sleep.
He tells him to put the knife in his eye.
He falls right away to sleep.
And he specifically said Kaylee didn't listen.
And that's why he took her mouth away. I don't think the stupid meter applies to this movie.
But honestly, I don't think so. I think Kevin was pretty clever. Like, the second Kevin got the chance to use the phone, he called 911.
Yeah.
That's really smart for a 4-year-old.
That's true. He has only 4. Poor baby.
4. Like, 4 and what's Kaylee? Like, 6?
Yeah, I'd say she got a couple years on him, yeah. But she was calling 911 earlier in the movie as well.
True. No, I'm not trying to take away from
no,
Kaylee.
No.
I'm trying to say Kaylee's an idiot.
That's not what I mean. I just mean it hasn't gone through until Kevin did it.
Yeah, well, I think that's the entity. Like, I don't think he got through on accident.
Oh.
I think he cut off the phone when they first got there, and he wouldn't let them call. I think for whatever reason, he was toying with Kevin. I think it was either playing a 911 operator I think he was actually connecting him to the outside world for that brief moment.
Why do you think it would be this entity being an unknown 911 operator? They asked him to stay on the phone and they're sending somebody.
No, I'm saying playing, like just pretending to be that.
But if they...
I don't think that's what's happening. I think he's... actually being connected to the outside. I think he's actually talking to a 911 operator.
Yeah, because like the woman sounds like worried and she's sending people and blah 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 blah. Anyways, do you want to talk about your likes?
Yeah, I have a lot of likes. Okay. I just love how scary this movie is. I don't even know what to say. I like almost everything about this movie. I like even the things people don't like. I like the long shots of silence of the corner of the walls. I actually like that. It's so scary to me.
Yeah. It really makes your imagination run, hey?
Exactly. Especially combined with the grain, which never goes away.
That's one of my likes, is I love how grainy it is.
Yeah, I love the grain.
It's that's like definitely.
Because when it's dark,
yeah,
it makes you see things.
Yeah.
When it's a little bit of light, it makes things look a little different.
And it's also, it has that like home movie kind of quality to it, you know?
Yeah.
It was, I really like that too. And the darkness, how dark it was all the time. I know probably people. Yeah,
you know, I was reading a lot about this movie and apparently a lot of the shots were literally just lit by a television.
Yeah.
Like they didn't use lighting a lot of the time.
I think that's brilliant.
I think that's amazingly shot. Like, who's done that before?
I don't know.
To be able to shoot that and make it look so good.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it's a marriage of this, the low budget style, just meeting Kyle Edward Ball's style, or if he actually orchestrated that. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, if he really understood it that fully to orchestrate that kind of atmosphere. Which I want to give him the credit and say he does.
I think he did it on purpose and, like, he made that. Like, the only lighting from the TV is a purposeful thing because we've all been in a dark room with just the TV on.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, especially half asleep or waking up or, and it's scary. You don't know what time it is, mm-hmm. especially when you're a kid.
I think most of us have sat around watching cartoons for a little too long and at some point just looked around. And realized how eerily quiet the house is.
Yeah. And then you start hearing a creak and your heart jumps.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really love that.
That's what I love about this movie is it attacks part of you that feels the most fear. It attacks the kid.
Yeah.
It makes you feel like a kid and it makes you feel like when you were scared as a kid. Like it actually makes me feel memories.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Like, one my favorite thing, I think, is the phone scene.
Ugh.
Just because I don't think I've ever seen a better representation of the way the dark can
change your view.
Can make you see something differently.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you're in bed and your coat's on the rack, door. And but when the light's off, it looks like a whole man is standing there. The way the eyes change when the light turns off.
That was the scariest.
It is probably the scariest.
Oh, because I always hated those phones. I always thought those phones
were... Oh, you actually really don't like the phones?
I always thought those phones were so creepy. Why did they make them look so creepy? They're for kids.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
I never liked those phones.
I never thought they were creepy.
Oh, I always thought they were. And then when
it
I saw...
It was in Toy Story.
They're creep. Why are their eyes looking like that? It's like a weird. Oh, no, I never liked
it. It is kind
them.
Of a weird machine with a face.
Why does it need a face? Yeah. It's a phone.
Yeah, it's kind of blasphemous.
I never liked them. And to see it like shift the eyes and when it kind of jumps a little, it's like, ugh. So gross.
Yeah, when it flicks down.
Yeah. Ugh. Like when I saw it. For the first time in the movie, I'm like, of course they would have that stupid ugly phone. Yeah. So ugly.
But again, so universal. Like, what kid didn't play with one of those?
True, yeah.
Well, yeah. I guess.
It was in every household.
But, like, so creative. What does it take to come up with something like that? How did he come up with a scene like that? So to so aptly hit that fear of the dark on the head with something so innocent, like the toy phone. Very creative.
Maybe he's a genius.
You know, I'm open to hearing that, honestly. I'm serious.
Honestly, I think he might be.
I think we might need to see a little bit more from him, but
definitely, yeah.
I wouldn't be scared to. I can't say he's not.
Yeah. He's on the cusp. We'll have to see more.
He wrote and directed this.
Yeah. And edited it.
Yeah, that's, and I think he's the voice, eh?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot. He really put in so much work. And during COVID.
So worth it. And during COVID, yeah, that's true.
Really good job. One of my likes was, the footsteps through the carpet.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you can't hear footsteps, right, when you're on carpet. But I feel like hearing every step, even on carpet, I don't know, it kind of set some sort of mood to me personally, because it's like he wants us to hear how slow or how fast they're walking or where they're going or how far they are.
Absolutely.
Anything else on yours?
I have a lot of notes. I think this is the most notes I've written.
Okay, great. I feel like I'm always talking, so it'd be great to hear from you.
That's okay. The people love hearing you, honestly.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. My dislike list is empty.
Me too.
I don't have one thing.
Yeah, me too. I really actually like the use of the kids as the characters.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's done before. Like, horror movies have kids sometimes, but not as the main and only characters.
Yeah.
And usually they're fine. Usually they're not tortured. It's so upsetting. They don't even understand what's going on. But a horror movie should upset you.
Of course.
It's like a cheat code.
Yeah. Like, have two innocent children in a movie.
That were doing nothing. Them. They were just minding their business. They wanted to play some hide and seek.
I also really like scary movies where the bad guy kind of wins a little bit.
Not a little bit.
He won a lot, I think, in this one.
You're evil.
Why?
He's winning against two innocent children.
Okay, but that's what makes it good. Like, imagine it Imagine it ended with the cops coming and busting down the door.
No, that couldn't happen.
Yeah, that wouldn't. Like, there'd be so many unanswered kind of questions. Like, does it follow them? Does he go back? What happens?
There is a bunch of unanswered questions, but whether or not he has won, or at least has the upper hand, is not a question.
Yeah.
The Skinamarink, or the Enemy, or whatever you want to call it,
has the upper hand.
Oh, yeah.
And especially with the ending on its face, like the shifting face.
Man, that scene, bro. The first time I watched this movie, man, I watched it in the complete dark. I got a little zooted. And I was just horrified the whole time. And it was so late and I was so tired. And by the time it finished, I was looking at my clock like, okay, I'm going to go to sleep right away. And the way it closes, I was not prepared for this, for this shifting face looking right into the camera.
Yeah.
Say, go to sleep.
Yeah.
You think I could go to sleep after that?
No. That's a great
actually,
scene.
I genuinely couldn't go to sleep.
Yeah.
It's an amazing scene. It's another thing about the grain, too.
Yes, because I love how it shifts kind of with the grain. And because you can make faces in static and in grain,
by itself,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like,
but when they just put the shape there, like, yeah. You see so many different faces.
Yeah.
Like, you see, like, a Baraka from Mortal Kombat looking character. You see, like,
an old lady.
Yeah, someone with a bag over their head.
Yeah.
Oof. It shifts so quickly.
Yes, so I'm guessing poor Kyle.
Which we see as the grain on the camera, but Kevin could be seeing as this thing is a shapeshifter, right?
Yeah, for sure Kevin's seeing that. Because, like, it is looking at him, right? Like,
they're talking.
Because it's first person view, sort of, right?
Yeah.
So obviously this is what he is seeing. That's so freaky to me. That is freaky, actually.
I have a lot of just stuff I want to discuss.
Yes.
Like, there's so much to discuss.
I would love to.
Okay, first things first. Before he falls down the stairs.
Yes.
Right at the start. Is he playing hide and seek with the entity? I know the dad says at one point Kaylee said he was sleepwalking. Like, he seemed like he was awake, right?
Yeah.
Was it already talking to him?
Probably.
And telling him what to do?
I think so, because, like, if Kaylee wasn't there playing hide-and-seek with him, who is he talking to? She probably walked out of her room after hearing him and, like, saw him.
I think that makes the most sense, too. Are we going to talk about the mom and the dad?
Yeah. You know what? I was thinking, like, with the scenes with the mom and the dad, apart from where he takes him to the hospital, I feel like it's all pieced together by memory. I feel like it's jumping times.
The encounters with the parents.
Yes. That's just how it felt to me, kind of, because they can't find their dad. Where's dad? Where's dad? But you can hear them upstairs. And then when they're in the bed, he just disappears suddenly and it's just mom. I don't know. And then the mom's in that room where we see the hand come out. I feel like it's just pieced together by their memory, or maybe the Skinamarink is replaying these memories for them.
Yeah, yeah.
And kind of scaring them through that.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't even think of that.
That's just the vibe I got from it.
And it makes sense. The first time, honestly, I watched this, I thought the parents were not real, aside from the scene where he takes them to the hospital. I thought it was... I didn't quite think it was a memory. I thought it was just the Skinamarink shape-shifting into their parents.
Yeah, that could be it. But I think because the Skinamarink has power over the children, it would have power over the parents.
Exactly, and that's where I'm going with this, actually. This time around, I started to think, I think the parents might be trapped in the house as well.
I think so, too, because, like, there's banging, which kind of sound like gunshots. I don't know if the husband kills.
Well, so when he traps Kevin and Kaylee, eventually he removes Kaylee.
Yeah.
And takes her somewhere else.
Yeah, so, yeah, when he goes to the basement.
Yeah, but he takes Kaylee out of the house for 2 years, almost.
Oh, yeah.
For 2 years, Kaylee and Kevin, or he takes Kevin out. Right, he takes Kevin out and puts him in that infinite hallway.
Right, yes.
He has the ability to not just seal off a location, but he has the ability to create and manage dimensions, pocket dimensions.
Yeah.
I think for me, that answers where the mom has been this whole time. I think it got to the mom first.
Yeah.
Trapped her, took her wherever, has her somewhere. And at this point, it got the rest of them.
Yeah.
And I think it separated the dad,
yeah,
and it kept the two kids together until it separated them. And I think they're all in their own
little
dimension.
Nightmare dimensions.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I didn't think of that. I thought it kind of forced the dad to kill the mom and then kill himself eventually.
Yeah, could be.
But I like the dimension thing, because how is this kid alive after 2 years without leaving this house?
Well, that's the thing. So he has other abilities. He has the ability to control your physiology.
Yeah.
Is that what we'd call it?
Yeah.
He took Kaylee's mouth away.
Yes.
She obviously can't eat anything.
And eyes.
But she presumably still survived? I don't know. Hold on. We'll get to that. Well, just the fact that he can remove her mouth. It has the ability to control the cells, the bodies like that. I don't know. He could have just, like, removed their... digestive tracts.
Oh,
whatever.
I guess so.
But he doesn't do that, right? They still need to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. But the one scene where one of them goes to go pee,
yeah,
it doesn't sound like peeing.
Well, he didn't pee.
No?
Remember, he got scared.
Yeah,
they
but
go
then
upstairs.
But then there's another scene where it says, like, urinating.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it doesn't sound like peeing. It sounds like kind of like the Lego or like ripping paper or something.
Hmm.
But yeah, he does take away the toilet, which is not very nice.
The toilet is so evil, man.
But, I mean, good for the Kaylee for grabbing those buckets. Like, she's a smart girl.
But just taking the toilet away, why do you need to remove these children's dignity? Like,
yeah.
Not just physical torture, but psychological torture.
Definitely, yeah.
That's like one of the first thing it does. For no discernible reason.
No, because
and
it
again,
was...
again, he either could have left the toilet, made it so that they don't need to go to the bathroom, but he didn't. He just took the toilet away.
Yeah. Because, like, he's taking the windows and the doors away.
Well, that's trapping them.
Yes, but what was the whole point of taking the toilet away was to degrade them and break their will.
That's it.
Basically.
It's not, they can't escape through the toilet.
So it was...
It's just evil. Like, yes. It's more than pure evil. Like,
yes.
It's sick. Children? That's sick.
Poor babies. So this hand that popped out of the washroom or the ensuite, maybe.
Yeah.
What the heck was that? It looked like kind of a mitt almost. There was some bone crunching noises, some sobbing and screaming.
Going back to the mom, I would think that actually is the mom. I think that it would have brought them back from wherever it had them for this interaction. And because it's still, I think it has heavy power of influence over the mother. since it's probably had her for so long, I think it lures her in there and, I don't know, breaks all her bones just to scare Kaylee.
Poor thing.
But what comes out of the room is, I don't know, it's a very quick shot.
Yeah, man, that made me jump so
much. It's a really quick shot. It looked like a fist to me.
It looked like a fist. A very
ghastly fist.
But it was like, it was big.
It was big, yeah.
It was bigger than a human hand.
Yeah.
And it was shadowy, kind of. Mm-hmm. Not exactly black, but like dark. It was just like darkness. Ghastly, yes. But if anyone ever tells me to look under the bed in a pitch black room.
God, I love that scene, man. When I first watched that, man, I was so scared.
Matt, yeah.
I was not prepared. I didn't know what was going to come out from under the bed. I was expecting anything. And then nothing happens.
It's just the pure dread that this every scene...
second builds your anxiety to a new level.
Yeah.
Like, she takes so long to do things too. Just the pauses between their conversations, the way they talk.
Yeah.
Such a long pause. And the pause between looking down.
Look, I think.
And how long she stays down there and then coming back up.
I think it's because she's trying to process it as a child would, right?
Oh, plus she's terrified.
Yeah.
She's so scared.
Poor baby.
It's pitch black.
Yeah.
Your dad kinda.
He's just kind of slumped in the bed.
Is telling you to look under the bed. Like, that's scary to a kid on a regular day.
Yeah. Because you're not supposed to look under the bed. The dad's supposed to look under the bed.
So I think, see, when it takes the mom to the closet and she says, Kaylee, go back downstairs. You can hear it talking first.
Yeah.
It says Kaylee and she says Kaylee. And it says, go back downstairs. She says, go back downstairs.
Yeah.
So it's like it's speaking through her, but it's like telling her what to say. So that's why I still think she's a person.
Yeah.
Just heavily under the influence.
At first, I thought this movie was like how a possession would feel or how it would begin to feel. But the fact that it's everybody, I don't think that would make sense. You know what I mean?
You know what else is so scary about that scene? Is like there's so much to unpack. Like the fact that Kaylee is looking at her mom and then something happens. And the mom looks, and the mom looks visibly frightened. And Kaylee looks at her mom for a while before she looks at what the sound was. Or she looks, and then she looks back and she stays on her mom for a while. Like, the Skinamarink is a master of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's nothing scarier to a child than...
Your parents are scared.
Seeing your parents afraid.
Yeah.
So whether that's really her mom or not, that's one of the scariest things you can show to a child.
And that's the last scene we see her parents, right? Talking at all. So they're definitely dead, in my opinion.
I don't think they're dead.
You think they're in this dimension?
I think they're trapped, yeah.
I don't know, man. There was a lot of blood.
Should we talk about the blood scene?
I feel like there's more before that.
There's a lot. Well, the blood scene is going to be a long conversation. There's a lot to talk about there. Shoot,
what was it?
Oh.
What?
One of my favorite visuals...
Yeah,
I've ever seen in a horror movie
uh-huh.
comes from this movie, and it's one of the very first scenes when the windows disappear.
How it shows where they were and how it disappears?
That's great, but what I really, really love is when they pull the blinds up.
Yes.
When they pull the blinds up and it's just a blind on a wall.
Yeah, but the hardware is still kind of there.
But it's a wall.
Yeah.
Like, never have I ever seen a blind mounted to a wall. I've never seen that before.
Yes.
For any reason.
Yes.
In blind displays, they put them on windows.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
You're right.
It's such a unique, jarring visual.
Yes.
That hit me immediately. Immediately when you see it, it's like, that is wrong.
Yes.
That is not right. What is that?
I do. I like how the most kind of, it seems mundane, but it's just so wrong. And it really does mess with you.
That's the thing. That's what I love about this movie is
there's just
it's kind of subtle.
Very subtle. Such small things that you wouldn't even think about.
Yeah.
But yes.
Like nothing's made a big deal of like, oh, look at this scene.
It's like
they pull up the blind and they're like, it's skydiving, what's going on? And that's it. Yeah. But the visual is so creative. Like, so it would have been so easy to just do the window disappearing scene, and that would have been nice.
Yeah.
And they could have moved on. To include the scene of pulling up the blind, it shook me from the first time I watched it, man. It's like, what, 20 minutes in, roughly? Not even. I think it's earlier than that.
When you first paused it, it was around 20, 23 minutes.
And I knew from there, I was like, that's where this is going. Because when I first started this, I did not know where it was going.
Yeah, because that is very claustrophobic-y. Like,
oh my God, the most claustrophobic.
Yeah, imagine you can't even get through a window to escape.
That's one of my favorite scenes in this movie, but in general, one of my favorite horror movie visuals I've ever seen. I liked that so much. Immediately, from the first time I saw it, I liked it.
I liked how some of the cartoons were used as a media to portray the situation they're in.
Not some. I think they all were.
All of it, you think?
Yeah, so I wrote them down, actually. So the first one we see is, looks like a Betty Boop character.
Yeah.
Not being able to sleep. And that was before anything really started happening. That was the first time when they said, can we sleep downstairs tonight? The second one was
the crows?
Was a pair of kids in beds, and they fall asleep, and then they float up out of their bed.
Oh, right, okay.
And they float into some kind of dreamland.
Right.
And that's right when it starts to go sideways.
Right.
So I think that's obviously meant to say that the Skinamarink has lifted them into a different space, some kind of dream space. Yeah, the third one was that like bird funeral, it kind of looked like.
Yeah,
they were wrapping up like funeral. A dead bird or something.
That's why I think the parents are dead.
I don't know if I really have a good interpretation of that one.
I think that's just what it means. I don't know. Because like that was
the parents are dead. What about the next one right after that is when a character is feeding the birds and they become friends. It comes around them.
Maybe that's Kevin feeding the Skinamarink his fear. I feel like this sort of entity would feed off of fear.
You want to know what's so scary about this movie? So the whole thing is it's this thing, creature, is from somewhere else and has powers that we don't understand and does not think like a human, although clearly understands the psychology of a human. If you subscribe to like the multiverse theory, technically this exists somewhere now.
Yeah. Don't say that.
Seriously. Am I wrong?
No.
If you believe that there's infinite universes in which the laws of physics can change and elements we don't know exist and we don't understand anything past our even a dimension of existence, while we know there are more, I mean, you kind of have to concede that something like this exists somewhere.
A creature that feeds off of fear.
A creature of just pure evil.
Yes.
That we cannot reason with. We have no power against. There's a pretty clear metaphor there, I think.
Do you subscribe to that?
The multiverse theory?
Yeah.
It just in general? I think so. I don't know. Yeah. Most scientists do, I think, these days.
Definitely. I think
this
so
is
too.
Not a science podcast. We should not deep dive.
No, but I mean,
before we get fully.
No. I mean, like, do you believe in that and therefore kind of believe some creature like this exists somewhere out there?
I really do pray that it doesn't. It's freaky to think about. The next cartoon after feeding the birds was pretty obvious. It was two kids look like got caught in a spider's web.
Yes. And then there was like some sort of monster that had them in its
fists.
Yeah,
it was like that big spider monster.
Yeah. Or was it a spider? I thought it was a monkey.
Yeah, so it grabbed the two of them. It got them caught in its web. It grabbed the two of them and one of them started hitting it. That was right before it took Kaylee's mouth away.
Yeah.
So I think that's meant to represent Kaylee disobeying.
Because that's all it said was she didn't listen to me. So I took
her mouth
away.
As simple as it gets. It's... You can't reason. You can't reason, you can't understand.
Do not disobey it. Just do what it wants. And I think he picked up on, like, the fact that the kid picked up on that and just did what it wanted and went where it wanted him to go. It shows a lot of intelligence on this poor little baby.
Yeah, it's true.
4 years old. Maybe he is still alive.
Well, if he's still alive, he's still trapped and poor probably thing. Still being tortured. Yeah. there's two after that. The next one was a character opening like a series of infinite doors.
Yes, right, yes.
Which I think is meant to represent the ability that the entity has to create
dimensions.
Yeah.
And trap.
Yeah. And then the next one and the last one is the Presto Changel Rabbit.
Yeah, and how it just kept skipping and repeating itself.
That's, you have an interpretation on that one?
No.
Oh my God, you don't have an interpretation on the Presto Changel Rabbit?
No.
How it's.
No, you tell me.
You don't know what he's saying with that?
No.
He's just showing the ability that he has to control time.
Oh.
Tuna.
Sorry.
Every time something bad would happen, he would do the noise.
Oh. Boop. The way I saw it was like the kid was the dog and the entity is the thing. The rabbit disappearing, mm-hmm. and that he'll never get kind of a hold on it.
Oh, well, very true.
That's kind of what I thought, but I didn't think that was right.
Very true. But, okay, so the first time we see the cartoon, it comes up, but it doesn't just play. It stops and rewinds and plays again. And then shortly after that, it asks Kevin to play. He ignores it. It gets mad.
Yeah.
There's a short scene with the boop, and then he tells him to stick his knife in his eye.
Right.
During the blood scene, every time it rewinds, it plays the noise. It splatters the blood, it plays the noise, rewinds time.
And the splatter goes back and forth.
Okay, let's talk about the blood scene. Do you get what's happening in the blood scene?
I'm guessing that's Kaylee.
Okay, yeah, I thought it was Kaylee too. All the things I read about it, everyone said it was Kevin.
No, because Kevin is on the roof, on the ceiling watching it. That's his point of view.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I thought it was Kaylee too, yeah. I couldn't find anyone that was saying it's Kaylee, and I was thinking, that's crazy, because the scene right before, we see a girl on a bed, who I'm assuming is Kaylee, and then she disappears.
But she doesn't disappear, she fades. Yeah.
I think that's the skin break bringing Kaylee back to where Kevin is.
Yeah.
And then, so what's happening is he's presumably...
Murdering her. Ripping her apart.
And then rewinding time and doing it over and over and over.
In her own dimension. Or is it in his dimension? Probably his.
It's in one where they're both there.
Why would it be Kevin? It's his point of view at that point.
No, you're absolutely right. I agree.
Yeah, he's on the
ceiling. I was frustrated trying to find someone that agreed that it was Kaylee, too.
I never thought it was Kevin.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, because who's watching it if it's not Kevin? The whole movie is about perspective and point of view.
So what he's doing is
killing her
over and over and over again.
But that's why I think they're all dead except Kevin. But I guess he can bring them back. Even if he
kills her, she's not...
Yeah, I guess...
He can kill her... And bring her back.
Yeah. That whole blood scene was very off-putting.
Man, it's
because, like, terrible. There's so much, and
I didn't even remember how much there was. Like, the first time I watched it, I think I trauma-blocked it out of my head. The second time, it's when we watched it, I was like,
holy
cow. It's a lot of blood.
Was it always that much?
Like, what could be happening?
Just splitting her right up.
You have no idea. That's the beauty of it.
Exactly.
Could be, but clearly she's being mutilated in a terrible way.
Yes.
Repeatedly for presumably eternity.
Poor thing.
Like, what is this? What is this movie where a 6-year-old is being murdered over and over for eternity? What is this?
I don't know, man.
I've never seen a movie like that.
Yeah, definitely.
I've never heard someone pitch that as a concept. Okay, so the 6-year-old gets trapped by this demon. Kills her over and over and over forever. And then what? That's it.
Her brother's watching.
Her brother, he makes her brother watch. Yeah.
Yeah. Great director.
Yeah, I mean.
He did a great job.
That's horror, man.
When Kevin blacks out kind of and he is on the ceiling for the first time.
Yeah.
And just walking and it's telling him to keep going. That really put me on edge. Because like it's so weird to see the doorway from that perspective.
Yeah, the ledge.
And he's putting the light on the floor and the flashlight on the carpet. And he's looking up. Yeah, that really, really put me on it. That was a freaky part.
Well, that's you've had a dream like that, right?
There was, yeah. Not quite, but similar.
I think we need to start telling the listeners when you have some crazy dreams.
That's a great idea.
Faith, just so you know, listeners, has the most messed up dreams. Honestly, like, I think you should get in touch with Kyle Edward Ball and tell him about your nightmares. Do you ever write them down?
No, but I do remember That's crazy. Okay, back to the movie.
Where else are we at?
Okay, so when he first, so when the Skinner Rink first says sleep, and he falls asleep after he has his poor little juice box and he didn't have a chance to drink it. And you see just, like, you know they're both obviously asleep. And you just see the Lego pieces, like, kind of being dragged. And that's the Skinnamarink, right? And then when they wake up, it's on the roof. Like, the whole thing's on the roof. The chair on the roof. The dolls on the roof. The Lego and the teddy bear on the roof. That's messed up.
Yeah. The chair one is really strong.
The chair really freaked me out. Like, that is evil, evil.
Yeah, the chair is really strong.
But the fact, maybe...
It's a thick scene, like,
yeah,
just, every they stare at it for so long, and it's just like the feeling of dread is immense
every time. And especially when Kaylee goes upstairs by herself and she sees the dolls on the roof and one falls and one doesn't, and then she goes back downstairs and he's like, did you see anything weird?
She doesn't even know how to explain what she just saw.
No,
they don't know how they to don't process. Understand, like, even they see the chair and they say, I think we should be quiet. Like, that's their solution. That's such a childlike solution.
Yes.
I don't know what's going on, but when we are making noise...
This happened. Let's maybe be quiet.
Let's be quiet. Yeah.
And something will leave us alone.
Yeah, like, so, so innocent.
Yeah.
The whole way.
And honestly, I think the child actors did a great job. Yeah, like, I think they sounded too. Like children. You know, they didn't sound scripted. They sounded like how they would actually talk.
Yeah, no, I agree. I thought they did a great job.
And, like, the whole only showing the feet.
Yeah, we don't see them much. We see Kaylee without a mouth. And
without,
we see
a mouth and eyes.
Kevin, when it fixes his eye, we see him turn his head briefly.
Oh, yeah, very briefly. Man, there was a lot of blood on that cupboard. You're right with the scenes. It's just staring at a corner of a wall, but you hear things. Like, when it got mad at him, and you just hear the utility knife go up, and it's in a corner, and it's like, put this knife in your eye. And then we see it after with the blood all over the floor and the cupboard and the poor kid. Like, I guess he had to. He had no choice, or else he'd end up like Kaylee or something.
You know what else I love is the door scene. Right after the blood scene, he says, yeah, hat on. He says, can we just watch something happy?
Oh, yeah. Poor baby. It really pulls at you.
And it shows him the front door. After watching his sister get tortured for we don't know how long, he says, can we watch something happy? And it shows him the only thing... At this point, they've spent almost 2 years there.
Yeah, 572.
He doesn't even remember what happy means. He doesn't even remember what makes him happy anymore.
No.
The only thing that carries a hint of...
happiness and...
the place where he used to be able to be happy is the front door.
Yeah.
And it's not like he puts it back or anything. He just shows it to him.
Yeah.
And in such a beautiful way, though. I love the scene. I don't know how they shot that. I don't know if that's just CGI. But I thought the scene was beautiful and obviously pure evil and super heart-wrenching.
Definitely.
It's not like he's going to let him leave, but it's like, okay, look at the front door. Remember where you were before this?
Yeah.
Not really, but...
this could make you happy.
Yeah, like... couldn't show him his mom. He doesn't probably even remember his mom.
Yeah, over 2 years, or almost 2 years, yeah.
2 years of enduring torture, you're not going to remember anything.
Especially being that young.
I think that's brilliant writing.
Whatever nightmare this is, it's a doozy.
Yeah, so I've heard him, I've been listening to a few interviews he's done, just because I've been fangirling about this movie. He really talks a lot about how personal this movie is for him. He doesn't elaborate on that a lot, but whatever happened to you, dog, I am sorry.
Man. It feels personal.
It does feel personal.
Because I feel like the smallest things really kind of hit you. It hits each person differently
it's on true.
Different scenes, you know.
Yeah.
Because, like, each one of us is scared of something in that movie.
You can definitely find something that's scary to you.
I liked the scene when Kevin is going through the house. He's obviously terrified. He's terrified. He doesn't know what to make of it. His sister's gone. He's the only one left. And he has the flashlight, and it's telling him to go upstairs. And he's just clicking the flashlight on because he doesn't want to, like, maybe draw too much attention or something. I loved that whole scene where it was like, what are we going to see the next time he puts it on? You know, it's just on and off. And his poor footsteps. That was really freaky to me.
I love the ability to use the chance for a jump scare and not put a jump scare.
Do you know what yes, I mean? That's oh my God, that is one thing I kept forgetting to say.
Like creating moments where
pure tension.
You expect the jump scare and not putting a jump scare.
That's one thing I was trying to remember to say. I really loved how he didn't put in jump scares.
There was a couple.
There was two. There's like two of them.
There was, okay, the first scene with the Barbie when he scares her. He finds Kaylee downstairs. And then there's the hand, I think, coming out of the thing. I think that's it. I think it's three.
Okay, maybe three. But looking under the bed.
The amount of.
He could have put something freaking really freaky down there.
Exactly.
He could have put in any one of those flashlight scenes. He could have put it in anything in the blood scene. He could have done it.
So many. The ending scene could have been a jump scare.
Yeah. It could have just come right at you, you know?
Yeah. It's real. Shows real restraint and real artistry.
I think it is because you don't rely on those jump scares.
The whole point of this movie really is the feeling.
Yes. And the tension and the dread. Beautifully done. The missing heads in the pictures. What is that?
Oh, the missing heads and like the distorted faces?
Yeah. Is it just...
I think...
Is it Kevin's memory fading?
That's what I think.
He can't remember who they are?
That's what I think. And I think it's a precursor to the door scene. Like, that's why he shows him the door, right?
Because
anything else that used to make him happy, he doesn't remember. I think that's what it is. I mean, it could also be representative of Kaylee's face is messed up.
Yeah, but some of them were missing their heads completely.
Some of them were missing their heads completely.
So if he can't put a face to this memory or this picture, I guess.
He probably can't even put a face to himself anymore. True. Probably doesn't even recognize himself.
Yeah. Oh, God.
So sad. I think that's what it's indicative of. And I think it's actually specifically meant to portray that feeling leading up to the scene where he shows him the door.
Yes.
I think the door on itself is kind of obvious, but I think that's a lot of context.
You know when Kaylee first calls the cops?
Sure.
And they're sitting around watching the cartoons and they're like, why is no one coming? Like, that's so sad. That's so sad to me.
Like, they saw the windows and the doors disappear.
Yeah.
And they're asking.
Well, he even tells the operator, like, the doors are gone.
She's yeah, but like, what? They don't, like, he doesn't even understand what he's saying. Like,
yeah.
They don't even know what that means.
Yeah, that's why I think the operator was real. Because she's like, what the heck do you mean?
No, I think so, too. I agree with you. I think it was a real operator. But I think the entity was allowing him to reach the outside world on purpose to toy with him.
But why do you think we did?
Because then he turns it into a toy phone.
But why do you think no cops ended up showing in the movie?
Because they're not where the house used to be.
All right, the dimensions.
Yeah, they're not there. They're not there anymore. They're not even in a house. Who knows what it looks like outside of the walls?
Yeah.
They're literally only in that internal space.
Yeah, you're right.
That's all that exists to them.
Yeah.
Except when he moves them. Like
to
when
that
he
infinite hallway thing?
Yeah, like when he takes them upstairs and puts him on the ceiling, you know how he walks between the two and it gets dark and there's all these animal noises?
Yeah.
I think that's his interdimensional travel. And he says, don't worry, I'll protect you. Because there's probably things to be afraid of out there. There's probably other things like the skin of meringue.
Gross. I didn't think of that.
Yeah, they're so trapped, it's not even funny. They're not trapped in the house. Like, they could be rescued.
No.
They can't be rescued.
Yeah.
They're trapped
for its own amusement.
They're trapped outside. Like, they're trapped outside of the world.
Yeah.
If you go to the house in the real world, they're not there. Or maybe they are and they're copies. I don't know.
Or maybe they're just all dead.
But they're not there. Yeah, maybe.
I wonder if there's a house somewhere in Edmonton with blinds just on the
wall. God, I would love to find out what this house is. That's kind of creepy, but I would love to find out what this house is.
I'm sure we could find it. That would be fun. Is this a rewatchability?
For me, yeah. Like, so the first time I watched it, that's must have been, I don't know how long now. But the first time, there was zero rewatchability until I got my senses together. Because, and this is the highest praise I can give to a horror movie, it genuinely scared me.
Yeah.
This is the only movie, I've ever watched as an adult that has made me afraid of the dark. I'm not even scared to admit it. Like, it made me scared of the dark. It just makes you feel like a kid again.
Yeah.
And like I said, like the first time I watched it, I went up to my room to go to sleep. I sat in bed with the lights off for a couple minutes and I was like, man, fuck this. I've turned the lights on. I actually got out of bed for the first time in, 15 years? I got out of bed and turned the lights on. I haven't done that since I was a child.
That's why. Props to this guy, man.
Seriously. Like, there's been movies even we gave Mother. I gave Mother a 10. I love that movie. And it's scary.
But
it doesn't leave me with anything lasting.
Yeah.
And you know what? To be fair, this time I knew what was coming and I don't think I'm going to be scared of it anymore.
Fair.
But the first time I watched this, Jesus, man, did it ever scare me. Now that I've gotten over it, yeah, I think for me it has rewatchability.
Yeah, definitely.
And just like it's not fun. It's not fun to watch. But it's like the art of it.
I feel like you'll find something new each time.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Well, I at least understood a lot better this time around.
Yeah, yeah. The first time I watched it, I went to bed and I did feel a little uneasy because like, I don't like the dark, but seeing the shifting faces and the stupid phone.
Yeah, like seriously. So like I'm lying in bed after watching this. Right after seeing that face, this is the last thing you see. I turned it off. I went to my bed and I have my jackets hung up on my door.
Yeah.
And it looks like a whole thing standing there. And I'm like, man, this is scary. I'm scared now.
Yeah.
But now I think it has rewatchability. Now that I'm not scared of it anymore. I've gotten over it. I'm a big boy.
Yeah, big boy now.
I think it has rewatchability just purely for the
art
of it. It's a beautiful movie. It's great.
Yeah. I don't know how people don't like this
movie. I think
this
will be like a Halloween regular for me.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I don't know why people don't like it. Is it just too slow for some people?
No, I know why people don't like it. Yeah.
It's too slow?
It's very slow. There's like 6 things that happen. Like 6 events total.
I guess, but like you can enjoy a movie without explosions and stuff always going
off.
Well,
that's the thing. I do. You do, I'm assuming?
Yeah. Yeah, I really like this movie.
Yeah, a lot of people just don't. And that's the thing. If you look up any of the reviews, it'll say, well, this is for some people and totally not for others. This is totally for me. And this podcast should have told you why it's scary. If you don't think this movie is scary.
Honestly, I like my rating of a 7.5 was mostly...
Okay, so yeah, tell me why.
It was mostly because I didn't understand, but I feel like talking about it thoroughly...
Dude, I've thought about this movie so much. I've done so much reading on this movie. I've listened to so many interviews with Kyle Edward Ball. I don't have much of a grip on it, but I really like exploring the concepts of this movie because it's really layered.
Yeah.
It's very interpretive.
That was why I gave it an initial scoring of that. But talking about it makes it scarier for me. And just even the dread I feel thinking back on some of the scenes is indicative definitely of how good this movie is. And I am going to change my score for sure.
I think the only other thing I would like to quickly mention is its laughter.
Yeah, what was that chaotic kind of psychotic thing?
I thought its laughter was so good and sickening. And
it's like it didn't know how to laugh.
What do you mean? It sounded like a
deep
belly laugh. It sounded like it was really getting enjoyment out of it.
But I feel like that's why it didn't know how to laugh. Like, it's the first time it felt this much amusement.
Yeah, like, you might be right.
It just kind of exploded out of it, you know? Yeah,
you might be right. And so this is, we're talking about when it fixes Kevin's eye and then turns the phone into the toy phone. He says, how did you do that? Says, I can do anything.
Yeah.
But it laughs at him.
Yeah.
It laughs at his despair.
Yeah.
Like, as if everything else wasn't enough. It literally, it's not a human.
Yeah.
It doesn't laugh. Laughing is a human thing.
Yeah.
It's laughing to communicate with Kevin.
That he's stupid.
That it's laughing at his despair. Like,
yeah.
It's not actually laughing, I think. It's saying, I laugh at your despair.
Right.
You know what
okay,
I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, evil.
Definitely.
Sick.
But what about the voice? Like, because at some points it kind of sounds robotic almost, but not.
Yeah,
really?
Especially at the beginning.
In the very beginning, it's like maybe learning to use its voice.
Mm-hmm, that's kind of what I thought too.
And then by the end of it, it's a full on like whisper. All whispers. Everyone's have you watched whispering. A movie and it's all whispers? Oh, I think only the parents don't whisper, right?
The parents are whispering when they're like during the bed scene.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. The mom was.
The mom was talking really softly.
I feel like the dad was like,
I think like in the beginning softly. When he makes the phone call. Did we talk about the phone call?
We didn't talk about that, no. That was the only full volume voice.
Do we need to or you don't want to get into it?
No, I do. Because like, what was the point of putting that scene in? Was that the beginning of the end for them? What was that?
Like, I mean, I think there's a pretty obvious interpretation that Kevin fell down the stairs and is hurt seriously. And this is a coma dream or something like that.
Oh.
Which personally I don't like.
I mean, it's a possibility.
Definitely a possibility, I have to concede. Or a possibility that he died and went to hell, I guess.
But why would a child go to hell?
I don't know.
But the dad said he didn't even need stitches.
Yes, but if it's a coma dream, that would make sense.
I mean, it's a possibility, but I don't like that.
Just for the sake of my own enjoyment, I don't want to watch the movie like that.
Yeah.
I want to pretend that he didn't need stitches. And that was just an opportunity to get them out of the house so that it can take hold.
I don't know. We'll have to ask Mr. Ball.
Yeah, when we interview him.
I would love
on next episode. Stay tuned. Special guest from Edmonton.
He's probably not even in Edmonton anymore.
I hope not. I hope he left.
Yeah, get out of here, man. Go on to bigger and better things.
Yeah, man. Go to Hollywood.
Well, we look forward to watching more of his stuff.
Very much so. Kyle Edward Ball, if you listen to this by some chance, we're very big fans of the movie and we're very much looking forward to your next work.
Definitely.
And we didn't pirate this. I was listening to an interview he did, and I really appreciated him because he said, you know, I hope you buy my movie, but if you pirate it and you like it, I love you just as much as a fan who bought it.
Wow. That's very sweet of him to say.
Yeah, I thought it was really sweet. And I've literally never heard anyone say that.
I would happily buy his next movie.
Oh, absolutely.
Anything else?
I'm sad to end it because this, you know, this was the podcast that I was...
I know. For. Do you feel like we did it justice?
I'm happy. And even if it didn't, we can always revisit.
Okay, so do you want to do final rating? Are you sticking with a 10?
Absolutely.
10 out of 10. I'm going from a 7.5. I'm going with a 9, I think.
What would make it a 10 for you?
Maybe if it was just...
A little shorter?
No, maybe not that. Maybe just extra spooky.
Extra spooky?
More spook.
Man, I don't see how that could have gotten scarier, honestly.
I don't know. More things in the background, sort of.
I respect the appetite for
more spook.
Yeah, I respect it.
I loved it. It was very spooky, but I would want more spook.
I think this is one of the scariest movies I've ever watched.
Honestly, I think Talk to Me was one of the scariest movies we watched in a while.
Talk to Me was really scary. But that's, like, this is scary in such a unique way.
That's
such
true.
A different way that I don't even, I haven't seen Poltergeist, which we're going to do at some point. You haven't seen it either, right?
No.
Which I'm pretty sure was a fair amount of inspiration for this film, as far as I understand. I can't even think of a movie like this. It's genuinely one of the scariest movies I've ever watched and one of my favorite horror movies.
Yeah. It's very original.
I think it might be my favorite. It's just, to me, it's fantastic.
Yeah. He did a great job.
Thanks for listening. This has been our Spooky Siblings review of Skinamarink.
Yes.
By Kyle Edward Baum.
Join us next time for my pick next week.
I'm looking forward to it.